Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is November 7th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing good. I'm on the road, even despite a double L this weekend for my football teams. Hasn't happened as much as I expected it this year, but happened this weekend.
Yeah, the Illinois game we watched together was agonizing. Unbelievable kind of stuff happening in that. We were with the great event, great people at the field. So fun to meet a lot of these people, listeners, friends of the program. Fields was a great host. But I made the comment, I was like, this is like, must have been what it was like watching Westy at like the early 2000s Masters. But he's just, you know, on the doorstep, but can't hit a 5-footer to save his life. I think there was one series when you really needed something that they ran it on one first down. They got sacked 3 straight times. Is that accurate? Was that what happened there? And you were just howling.
Yeah, they ran the draw.
But yeah, they had to move it. Great weekend, by the way.
It appears our Wi-Fi is quite bad.
Yeah.
We're delayed a little here. This is going to be a tough episode. We're dealing with difficult conditions. This is a throwback episode. I'm on the road. Brendan's in his laundry room, which, you know, amazingly gets worse Wi-Fi signal than his office. It's an unbelievable situation.
Why would the laundry room need to get better Wi-Fi?
We both have the handheld mic.
Why would the laundry room need to get better Wi-Fi than the office? Why is that amazing?
I'm just saying it's amazing that a room in your house could possibly get worse Wi-Fi than your office.
This delay is a nightmare. If this comes off okay, then we've really become quite professional. If this comes out all right, we could do TV with those satellite delays without talking over each other. All right. Go ahead.
If we had a producer, they'd be able to figure this out.
But instead, we have no producer. I'm in a laundry room. We're both holding our mics. This is like September 2018, original stuff, where we just plugged the mic into the side of our computer and said, what are we going to talk about today? Should we talk about the RSM? No, we're going to talk about the worldwide technology, Mayakoba.
Hey, I got something for you.
Yeah.
I wanted to run by you. You know, we got a new FedEx Cup number one.
No, I actually did not know that at all. Who is it?
Seamus Power gets to the top of the mountain.
Oh, no. That's not good for anybody.
Seamus Power is the new number one player in the world. And he was asked about it in a press conference after the round.
This is...
Question. Just some thoughts. For the first time in your career, you're the leader in the FedEx Cup. Seamus Power. Oh, really? That's it. That's all he said.
That's the transcript? Oh, really is the transcript.
That's, oh, really? It ends and then it goes to the next question.
That's so good. I mean, this is not good for anyone involved. It's not good for Seamus. It's not good for FedEx. It's not good for the FedEx Cup. It's not good for the PGA Tour. Nobody, it's just not a good crowning moment. This is like a Danny Chops situation when Danny Troper was at the top of the mountain there for a few weeks. We have Seamus Power. Now, I mean, he played well. I saw he played well in Mexico. Mr. October, Patton Kizzire, of course. It's World Series, Fall Classic Week. There's Patton Kizzire. I haven't heard from him in like 4 years. There he is, you know, in the top 10. But yeah, Seamus Power played well. New number one.
Meanwhile, Russell Henley
won.
That's true. You know, been a while.
That's true.
Been a while since he won.
I want to knock out a couple things here at the top.
A big weekend for the Georgia
Dogs.
That
is true. They beat up the Tennessee Vols. That was never a game. Kind of took the sails out of the tailgate there. We needed a close game. And all of a sudden, the most dramatic moment, the most entertaining moment was Illinois-Michigan State, which was not even available in LaGrange, Georgia. As you know, I've never lived in a place that didn't have Big Ten Network, right? I'm not saying that's a bad or good thing. I just never thought about it. It's like, oh, of course, they don't get it down here. It's not in the footprint. So you're YouTube simulcasting it onto the TV, and that became the highlight because Georgia had just kind of beaten the pants off Tennessee. So it was a good weekend for the Dogs.
We should have hung around. You know, if we had hung around till the LSU-Alabama game, that would have been, you know, that would have been a highlight moment.
We had no LSU fans there. We did have some Alabama fans there, and they don't think they would have been thrilled come, you know, 11 o'clock local. So we did get out of there before the end of that game. I'm going to take care of a couple things. Just last Wednesday, we noted, I want to just, you know, reiterate this. We're winding down the Bixby partnership, the subscription deal. We're going to still do like drops with them and, you know, holiday blends, this, that, and the other. But in case you didn't listen last Wednesday, it's been like almost 4 years now. I mean, they're OG sponsors, but the price of coffee has just gone through the roof, and we don't want to, you know, clobber you guys over the head. So we're kind of winding that down. November 14th will be the end if you're a subscriber. Just note that, and you need your caffeine fix come second half of September. That subscription service is winding down through us. Other things, B Dratty was at the tailgate this weekend. You can use the promo code TFETailgate30. To get 30% off all their collegiate gear at ZR, Zero Restriction and B-Dratty. I got to say, they were awesome. Like, this isn't just part of the ad read. They came out, made a huge effort, brought a bunch of stuff for people who were there. And I thought it all looked like, I want to take one of everything. I'm not an Ole Miss fan, necessarily Auburn fan. I wanted all of it. It's really, really good looking stuff. And that's no bullshit either. I was just, if I had been an attendee, I would have wanted to take one of everything. But they were really supportive of us this weekend. And now you guys can use that code if you want any of the collegiate stuff, TFE Tailgate 30 to get 30% off. That's Zero Restriction, where you can do the vests and the pullovers or Dratty, where you can do some of the layers and polos and things like that. So it was good stuff. This delay,
it was great stuff. Great stuff. It's not good. It's really not good. I got my buddy a long sleeve polo that was that's an Auburn fan that I crashed at his place in Atlanta on Saturday night, and he's like, man, this is for me. He was excited. He's like, this is better than anything I could get on campus. I was like, yeah, it is.
More Auburn fans, I think, than any we had. I think it was the most more Auburn fans than anybody. They were available to play golf on a Saturday. Whereas I think Georgia fans, maybe Tennessee fans, they wanted to watch football. But we had a lot of Auburn representation this past weekend. All right, other quick news. Thirst bucket of the week. I just want to hand this out. This guy eating rotisserie chicken for 40 straight days. My original thirst bucket of the week was the PGA Tour social media account. You see Justin Jefferson wearing the Yarmo sunglasses,
and then Yarmo. Yarmo glasses.
So everybody jumps on this. Justin Jefferson's wearing the Yarmo sunglasses, and PGA Tour account says these sunglasses never went out of style. Here's Yarmo Sandalin wearing them in 2001. Well, you know what? He didn't wear them at a PGA Tour event. He wore them at the Volvo Scandinavian Masters. He never wore them on the PGA Tour. And here you have PGA Tour social, thirstily looking for the Yarmo Justin Jefferson lift. You know, their wins don't count. European Tour might as well not exist in the win count total. You know, no Race to Dubai, nothing. Strategic Alliance is like it's more like a thread. And, you know, here they are at a time to get thirsty with Justin Jefferson making waves. They're using European Tour images. I don't know. Thirst bucket of the week, PGA Tour social. And this rotisserie chicken guy who I don't even want to acknowledge.
Maybe this is where the Strategic Alliance is the strongest, isn't with the social media accounts. You know, maybe this is where there's the strongest alliance, is the tour is trying to catch up to the chops of the European tour.
I mean, there's by sharing 22-year-old images.
European tourists, you know.
By sharing 20-year-old images, just trying to get a lift. They didn't even boost the European tour. All right, thirst bucket of the week. Let's get Mayakoba. We've talked about Mr. October. We've talked about Seamus Power climbing the mountaintop. Russell Henley wins. He had as much as a six-shot lead. He is Subscribe to the Fried Egg newsletter. I'm not going to sort of crib what Gary Morrison wrote, but he wrote all you need to read about the Mayakoba Classic with, I think, the title or subtitle of this, a courageous attempt to say something interesting about the Worldwide Technology Championship. And it was. He executed it. Garrett's a very good writer. I'll let you read his thoughts on Russell Henley and El Chameleon and how that sets up different skill sets. But I'm not going to say Russell Henley is in the Keegan Bradley level. Bradley won a major, Ryder Cups. But like, he's in the same vein of like, this is a real professional golfer. He's a legit pro. He belongs on tour. He's not going to put butts in the seats necessarily, but he's not one of these guys who's like a 4A guy or just living on the, you know, living in the 100 to 150 range. He's a real talent, a real pro, and he's now won four times on the PGA Tour. A lot was made of his, you know, Sunday scaries. I think he'd lost six 54 hole leads or hadn't converted like six in a row 54 hole leads. This one was sizable. I think it was five or six on Saturday night. He wins by four. Scottie Scheffler shot 62 to make it a little interesting, got within three, but he beats Harmon by four.
He didn't make now it interesting at all.
You cut off. What?
There was no interesting part of this tournament.
That's true. It was bad.
Like, he got it to three. It was a snooze fest. I mean, this is the thing. It was a great win for Russell Henley. He won it on Saturday. He just kind of put it in neutral. He kind of played a Tiger round on Sunday where, you know, just don't make any big mistakes. And that's a hard golf course, though, to not make any big mistakes with the mangroves everywhere. So he deserves a lot of credit. But it was not like this was not compelling.
No, I was not trying to argue anyway. I was just trying to suggest Scottie Scheffler got within three, and that's like as interesting as the as close as it got on the leaderboard. I believe it wasn't quite Matt Jones winning the Honda Classic that one year, which like might as well just not have happened. But it was in that he's won the Sony Open, a Honda Classic, a Shell Houston Open, which I believe would have been the old one, 2017. Not obviously not the more recent Memorial Park and Mayakoba. So some precise.
So, hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You just triggered my thoughts with the Matt Jones comment.
What?
Do you think the tour, since they've already taken the most, you know, drastic of measures against Liv with the bans, do you think they should also start vacating wins? And going to the pros' houses and taking the trophies back. Like, go take Matt Jones's Honda Classic trophy back. Like they do, you know, they take the banners down.
Fab Four.
NCAA teams.
Yeah. Fab Four, that Kentucky team. What was the Kentucky team that kind of...
Fab Five.
Come
on, Fab Five.
God, whatever. I don't know why I said Fab Four. The Fab Five, and then the Kentucky team, the Miracles or the Incredibles, whatever. They restored the pride in the program. But didn't they get it vacated? Jared, who were some of those guys? Jared Pritchett? I can't remember. God, I love those early Kentucky teams. Mm-hmm. Anyways, they should start doing that. Go to Matt Jones' house, knock on the door, say, this is vacated. It never happened. It doesn't count. And then we'll use just social assets in 20 years when we're looking for a little juice to when we're thirsty. It doesn't count anymore, but we'll still use the social media images. I don't have much to say about Russell Henley. Read Garrett Morrison. I'm not going to rip him off, but clearly wins at a certain type of place, a Honda Precision, a Sony, you know, where shorter guys can at least have a chance. A Mayakoba, where shorter, accurate guys have a chance, as we've seen in Brendan Todd and Brian Gay and many other legends of the game succeed. So he dominates here. He's a real pro, never done a lick in a major, never done a thing in a major, which runs counter a little bit to my argument.
No.
What?
Come on. He was in the final group at Torrey.
What? Okay, finished T13.
He's done
T13.
Stuff.
He doesn't have a single top 10 in 32 starts. That's not.
Well, he was in the mix at least. He hasn't done nothing. Done nothing would be like what
a single top 10 in 32 starts.
I don't know what Pat Perez has
That's
done.
That's nothing.
Pat Perez probably has done less in majors than him. I think he's like he's at least like he had a chance to win on a Sunday. You know, he wasn't out of it. Okay. Like you can say he teed it up on a Sunday with a chance to win. That's way more than most people
can say. I
can't
believe we're litigating Russell Henley's major championship career with some subjective terms. I mean, zero top tens, to make it objective, zero top tens and 32 starts. But I guess, you know, you'll always have Saturday
All I'm
night.
I'm saying, he entered a back nine. He went to sleep knowing he had a chance to win. Okay. That's more than most people can say.
All right. I think that does it for Mayakoba. Do you have any other thoughts you wanted to get out there besides, you know, Seamus Power transcripts or anything? You could just keep, just start talking. I'll know when to cut off here. I'm the pro with this delay. Keep going. Let me know. Do you have anything else on Mayakoba?
No, I don't. Well, do you want to talk about Morikawa and him like snapping about the Immelman thing?
I did have that in my notes. We kind of popped Morikawa on Wednesday. We just said, you know, the old comments are a little eye rolly, and you know, there's he's just been a little punchy with press over the past year, and I don't know. Listen, there's maybe a little backlash happening in different corners, but I don't know. This was a little bizarre. It was just a misunderstanding, right? I mean, I don't know that. Trevor Immelman said something to the effect of, like, yeah, that could have been, he raised this incredible bar right out of the gate. And, you know, maybe that's not sustainable for anybody. And not just, it's not nothing to be ashamed of. Jordan Spieth has talked about this himself, acknowledged it himself. Like, I might have to come to terms with played the best golf of my career in 2015, when my, like, third year on tour.
Interesting. That's an interesting quote. Coming to terms about being
paraphrasing.
Dude.
I'm paraphrasing. He's acknowledged that, you know, maybe the standard he set in 2015 wouldn't be the annual standard. But now he's still out there as relevant as ever and as a superstar as ever. Going 5-0-0 in the President's Cup. Colin Morikawa, I think this was the point Trevor Immelman was trying to say, and Todd Lewis was reciting it to him in an interview. And Morikawa, like, kind of sort of snapped at the moment, says, I could care less what he says. You know, Trevor, I assume, is in the booth. He's listening to this, the whole thing on the other end. You know, and I think he confused with, like, absolute peak and ceiling type language with, like, you've set a standard and a bar that, you know, might be among, that's not going to be achievable every year. Or else you're Tiger Woods or somebody, you know, or not even Tiger Woods has done that. So he's snapping in real time on the, and I don't know, it's a little bit of a pattern of Colin getting a little testy. It's hard to hear from him, to be honest. I could care less what he says there because I don't think that's my bar. I've got so much more to improve. I've been near last in putting. I don't think I've ever even finished close to being average on putting. If I just get my putting to be average, I think there's so much more to improve. So I don't know. I don't know where that came from, but that kind of stains there. I don't like to hear that. And, you know, Trevor came on and said he would call him and they would patch it up because it was just a miscommunication. But what if his average?
I want him not to patch it up. I hope he comes back on next week and pops him again. Dig in. You know, sometimes you're presented with two choices. You can dig in. And, you know, there's another
you
choice.
Do. I
here.
Know that. That's what we do here at the Shotgun Start. Yeah. So it's just a bizarre thing. Does this do anything for you in your current current? I don't know, assessment of Morikawa? Does it add more another log on the sort of anti Morikawa?
I like it. I'm in on it. I'm in on the spice. I want him to just start calling people out. You know, I'd love some golfers just to, you know, start sounding off. Even if they sound off against, you know, a podcaster. I don't care. Just sound off. Give us some quotes. It's so rare to get something of any sort of substance from a lot of guys in the top five. You know, we get it from Rory and Rahm often, but it's nice to get something like, you know, hey, it made everybody like think something. And I'm not saying I agree with Morikawa's comments, but I enjoyed a little spice, a little, you know, little, you know, something to keep me awake during watching golf.
Sleepy Worldwide Technology Championship. Yeah, even though it was completely baseless, completely like misinterpreted. But anyways, he got his takes off. I never saw the video. I got to watch the video. I've only read the transcripts, but I wonder what Todd Lewis was doing. It's like this was happening. It was just on his back foot, didn't know how to react. That I got to check out the visuals of how this all went down. Elsewhere in golf from the week.
Todd's a pro's pro. He tried to clarify it. He tried to clarify it on it, you know?
Yeah. We didn't talk about it in the moment, but I think at the Presidents Cup, he did this great essay, like really heartfelt, moving, emotional essay on Camila Vajegas and the loss of his daughter. Horrible story, and it was a really memorable essay. And Todd Lewis narrates it, and it's really good. And it wraps up with sort of this soft music. And they go to commercial, and it just transitions to Bob Parsons screaming at you. It was the worst, most abrupt, jarring, inappropriate transition from this kind of playing out this like really tragic essay, beautifully told, to Bob Parsons. You know, like a pig in mud. These deals are so hot. It was just a really low-key, sort of underrated disaster moment of the year. All right, continuing on with the schedule for the week. From the week, we have the Toto Japan Classic on the LPGA. I got to be honest, I assume it's Gemma Driver. She's the fourth Scot to win on the LPGA. She wins over in overnight Saturday night Toto Japan Classic. She's the first Scot to win on the LPGA since 2011 when Katrina Mathew won the Lorena Ochoa Invitational. So she pulled away. Started the final round one shot back. I think she shot 65 on the final Saturday night here to win. So they're dancing the streets of Edinburgh.
65.
Yeah. Dancing the streets of Scotland.
Double 65.
There you go.
On the weekend.
Wins. And it she was.
This delay is really great.
She was on the border. So she got her spot in the Pelican, the Blueberry Boys, and the CME, I think. So she was on the edge. I think she's now got guaranteed start, no cut CME championship. So congrats to Gemma Drybaugh. Elsewhere in professional golf, the TimberTech Championship. Your guy, maybe the greatest story in golf. They're still doing it. Bernie Lohner. Wins. He's now one shy of Hale Irwin. Shot 63 on Saturday. I think he shot, I want to say 66 on Sunday. Just rolls away. Talked about the joy of playing at home. This was at Boca Raton for the TimberTech Championship. There were a lot of requests that are at the tailgate event, the fields, to turn off some of the college football games and get the TimberTech Championship on a few of the TVs, which they were not. They were not acknowledged, but there was multiple requests for TimberTech on the TVs. But there's your Bernie Lager.
Well, it makes sense. You're talking about the greatest to ever do it. You know, getting it done. He beat his age on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, 63. He's now won 44 times. He kicked everyone's ass. He went 70, 63, 66 to beat Paul Goidos and Thonchai Jaidi. There were quotes from Goidos about like how, you know, you would have thought you were playing Tiger in his prime. Goidos was like, once he gets going, there's just nothing you can do to stop him. You're never going to chase him down, Bernie Lohner. So yeah, he's one shy. He's one shy of Hale Irwin with the Schwab Cup Championship still to go this year. He's got 44 Champions Tour wins. He's won 44 times since October of 2007. Still doing it at 65. Congrats to Bernie Lohner.
Do you think he's going to track down the Alker boy for
no,
the title? Are we rooting for Bernie?
No, I'm rooting for the Alker boy. Well,
we are. Did he lock it up? He can lock it up before the end of the final.
No, there's only one left. So he did not. He's in first, but he did not lock it up. I think he's catchable by Stricker or Furyk or one of those guys, you know. So that's Phoenix. I think next week, Phoenix Country Club. That's it for results news. Let's just do a quick whip around. We did not record on Friday. We were driving around Georgia, rural Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, various parts of Georgia. So we did not get a podcast done. Tried to, but we just, Wi-Fi might have been even worse than this. But since then, we reported on the match six or seven. It's going to take place at the Pelican Club outside Tampa. It's going to be JT and Spieth against Tiger and Rory, allegedly. Still to be officially announced, but you know, we can report that it was confirmed by Golf Digest, but you know, they still have to announce it. I think it's coming maybe this week, we'll see. But that's scheduled tentatively for December 10th. It's going to be under the lights. It's going to be 12 holes. We've gotten other details that it's going to be kind of a mishmash of holes. They're going to be throwing tees way back. There's going to be maybe a 600 yard par four. They're just going to kind of get goofy with it under the hole, under the lights, just to make a 12 hole match. That's a great thing. December 10th at night. So it'll be after the shark shootout or whatever it's called, QBE shootout.
That's exciting. I mean, these matches are what they are. They're never going to be like, you're not getting major championship golf, but you know, I think it'll be a compelling match. I think like this in terms of the PGA Tour faction, this is probably the most compelling four players that you could put together. You know, you might.
How about that?
You think?
Jordan Spieth. There he is. Compelling as it gets. You got to have him in there. Top four.
He's compelling. He's compelling because you got two great players, and you know, you got Tiger, who's, you know, I don't know what you call Tiger right now. Obviously, I think he's obviously the greatest that ever did it, but you know, you never know what you're going to get. And then you got just this random pedestrian in there.
Oh, God. We're going to have some.
That was a joke. All right. This is a joke.
He's going to light it up, I bet. We're going to have to have some good little side bets. This could be a big moment for you where, like, when Peyton Manning was out playing Phil, we could have a lot of fun with this one. Let's get your anti-Spieth kind of stance could really draw.
It's not anti-Spieth, okay? This is being completely colored the wrong way. Of course, I'm not doing myself any favors, but most of the time I'm just joking around. But I'm just saying he's not elite, okay? This is like the Joe Flacco discourse. Forever.
But that'll be exciting, I think. Maybe the guys of the Blueberry Boys will be out there in their coats. That'll be fun to see them running around after they have the women's event there. So could be a pretty good match.
We were working on this story just to confirm that this thing, you know, we had this rumor, and it was funny. I was talking to somebody about it, and they were saying that, you know, around the club, everybody was really, really excited to tell you about the match. But then if you ever asked any questions of the Blueberry Boys, they would then just get super silent.
Start acting
weird.
Really weird. Yeah, about it. The Blueberry Boys. Yeah. So it was either A, being talked about amongst everyone, or B, you know, then being secretive, like both ways, I guess. I don't know. So, yeah, I do like more details, still rumored, unsubstantiated. Let's put this in the unsubstantiated, but it's like a mixture of 12 holes, like teeing off on like a third tee. Make it like to add 100 yards for the eighth hole to make it a 600 yard par four. So, just we'll see. Maybe they get a little goofy with it, but that's what you need in mid December. Elsewhere, I had like 15 things for news, but with this delay, we don't have the ability to kind of whip through things like that, whip around. Hey, what do you make of Lydia Ko finally getting good again and firing Sean Foley, going back to maybe Ted O?
It's very strange, right?
Seems ill-advised. I don't understand it. Is that all you got?
I don't know. It just seems like you're changing to change.
Well, that's what she's done for like 10 years now. You know, it's been a while, but it finally felt like she had some stability here, at least with her game returning, but maybe her game is best when there's chaos and there's change. I don't know. It was an odd one. So that's the one bit of news I'll get out there. There's much more, but we'll just bump that to Wednesday when hopefully the internet's better.
Do you think she had more or less stability than your stability shaft and your putter?
That thing was rolling pretty well this weekend. I had a couple that went down. So you love to make fun of my little stability shaft. I don't know. I'm going to go back to my old putter, I believe. So we'll see. Hey, I want to call out this. I'm getting bombarded right now as we record with this rotisserie chicken, man. Like, talk about this guy being thirsty. What a dumb activation. Like, it just, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to make people aware of it, and then they're going to come out, and I'm going to be all over social media. And you know what? He's got his 15 minutes a moment for this thing. And congrats to him, 15 minutes of fame, and this is how he did it. And, you know, that's something you'll have to live with. I got my 15 minutes of fame for eating rotisserie chicken for 40 days in a row. I just want to reiterate, I was never not necessarily anti-rotisserie chicken. You just said you had picked it up for dinner.
Oh, come on.
You picked it up for dinner. I said that is a complete punt, an abdication of your responsibilities to make dinner. And, you know, I'm not suggesting you need to make dinner every night. That's impossible. But of all the ways to punt and abdicate your duties to make dinner, getting a rotisserie chicken where you got to work for like three little scraps of dirty, crappy chicken meat is not the way to do it. And maybe we'll do...
I'm not allowing you to slander rotisserie chicken again.
I'm not going to do it. I'm just suggesting of all the ways to punt on dinner.
You're doing it again. You're trying to do it.
Of all the ways to punt on dinner, maybe we'll do best ways to punt on dinner rankings in December when it's slow. Like Uber Eats, worst one. That's lazy millennials just refusing to cook for their kids and they call it or themselves and they call it Uber Eats. Frozen pizza, up there. Like, you got to find ways to, you know, not make dinner, but also make dinner. Rotisserie chicken is one of them. And it's a terrible, terrible, you know, of all the ways to eat chicken, it's probably among the worst. And this guy's getting his moment for eating, you know, 40 nights in a row. Congrats to this guy. And I'm getting bombarded.
When this delay's done, when we're back on a non-delay, I'm going to come back on this rotisserie chicken topic. This is an awful, awful connection. I apologize to all the listeners for this.
Apologize to them. They signed up for this. They know what they're getting and they don't need an apology for it. So maybe we'll be back on better Wi-Fi. It's convenient for you that you're, you know, wussing out and pushing back on any kind of rotisserie chicken. As far as I'm concerned, the matter is settled. So we'll talk Wednesday. Everyone enjoy your start of your week. We'll be back. I don't know what event is this week. Is it Houston Open? Could be a good one. Until then, you know, make sure you got your coffee lined up for the back half of November. Use the code TFETailgate30. Zero restriction. Be dratty. We'll be back with you on Wednesday.